Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I'm glad we finally got through that content. We needed to really wrap up. And I hope, as you recognize, that this content that we cover is so important, because without understanding what powers we have, without understanding the framework of the Constitution, the Constitution itself, we can't use it as a weapon. We can't use it as our defense. We cannot win our political battles without the Constitution. I just want to be very, very clear. This is why the content of this show and educating you and what I am doing, because when we dive into the ratification debates this year, and as I go through it again for the first time, and oh, by the way, I don't know if he is listening, but Mr. Levy brought in, because I've drilled into slavery in the North Carolina debates to kind of show how the sentiments of America were already changing. And he pointed out, going through the, it's not that I missed it. I didn't see how it had necessarily direct relevance, and it does. He pointed out how Massachusetts was looking at the 3/5 rule and how that affected some of the white slaves that were in Pennsylvania and some other parts of the nation. Got to be clear here, folks. Blacks were not the only slaves. It's just that all blacks under this paradigm were to be slaves, except for those who had their legal freedom. It wasn't necessarily an institutional thing that if you had colored skin, regardless of what that, black, brown, what have you, there was nothing institutionalized. It was that all those who were of African descent and or black ancestry, then those folks that were slaves could not become free anymore. Now, just to be clear, that whole paradigm came from King George. And that's why in the Declaration of Independence, the original draft, Thomas Jefferson called out King George for doing that and actually basically waging an economic and a liberty war on an entire race, and then inflicting that upon America. And then also he calls them out for supporting rebellion, giving them arms and helping them uprise here in the, I believe it was in the Carolinas. But anyway, so we're going to drill into the ratification debates, and I'm going to start doing that on the side, because I need to be able to have the content. Well, so two things. One, I'm going to do this on the side so that I can have the content. But the reason I am only going to focus, and we may actually only go to one promo when we're doing those, when we're doing the ratification debates. That way, it becomes a little bit easier for you to swallow 1 minute instead of the 2 minutes of promos. And it allows me to focus on getting you straight into the content and to the end of the period. This way, what you should be able to do is you should be able to take these episodes when we begin and when we end, and I'll have interjections in between possibly, but when we begin and when we end, because last time I did the ratification debates, it took 7 weeks to go through all of the content. And that's because there's that much content. And so what we want to do is we want to actually give you what I'd call is the makings of an audiobook on the ratification debates. It's not the entire ratification debates, but it is enough evidence and enough academic material to prove how the framers absolutely defined the Constitution. Now, I do not go through much of the anti-federalist assertions and their counter-accusations and insinuations and so forth. But I do go through some of them. The reason I go through some of them is to kind of show you how they were actually seeing that if the Constitution is not followed and is literally abused and are violated, these things will come of it. Now, what they were asserting was these things were just going to come. But to understand the fact, like when Mason said that they would marginalize the militia and get rid of it, that's unconstitutional. The fact that we no longer have a militia that is delegated down to the county level instead of this National Guard, the National Guard literally removed and is unconstitutionally removing the militia. The funding and everything else needs to be restored back to the militia and no longer the National Guard, because the states only have, because it goes to states instead of county. Now, whoever the idiot was that thought of this, and whoever believes that this is a good idea, is making a mistake. Now, I do believe that the pay that those in the militia should be getting, and it should be, you know, operated in a very similar fashion, but it needs to be at a militia layout, the way the framers had designed it, down to counties. Counties had an accountability and a responsibility to be able to provide safety and security for every county, that they could be autonomous in the case of civil unrest or in the case of, you know, crime, you know, or actually very specifically regarding the militia, because the sheriff can call up the militia and use them for a posse if he does not have the manpower. So he can use them, and he has posse money, and so this would not necessarily be federal money, but he would have to pay. Let's say they're doing a door-to-door sweep for a child that's been abducted and missing, and he just doesn't have the resources. He should be able to call up the militia, because the militia should exist in his county. Some framework of an organization. But see what I'm doing? I'm ranting. And what I want to do is I want to get into really what we're going to be doing. And like I said, we're going to cover the ratification debates. These are going to become a audiobook for you so that you can sit down and listen. And I will tell you that as you go through it 2, 3, 4 times, you all of a sudden have a slam dunk. The Federalist Papers are insightful. They're interesting, but they are nothing compared to the ratification debates. The ratification debates is America's hidden treasure, and it was hidden for a very specific purpose, because if you don't read the ratification debates, then those in government and politics can take you down the wrong course, and it's kind of like the gospel and understanding the doctrines that are within scripture, and how if you don't understand the scripture, how your, you know, leaders of your church, your parish, or what have you, can take you down and pervert the doctrine and actually get you engaged in a perverted form of religious worship and so forth. It's the same thing with our government, my friends. It is the exact same thing. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. We do want you to feel free to comment at any point in time. We will actually answer, you know, your comment when we're not doing content. So I will take a break, if at all possible. If I can't, like when I have my surgery done, I won't be able to necessarily have the dynamics of taking a break. But as soon as I get to a recovery point to where I can actually move around and respond, then I will. But what I need to do is I need to can a few weeks at least of this content. And like I said, last time we went through the ratification debates, it took 7 weeks, because there's every state debated this, and you need to know how each state looked at the Constitution, because they actually looked at it disparately. Massachusetts, again, looked at it with, you know, with a spiritual framework, with a spiritual filtering. Pennsylvania, they looked at it in kind of a similar fashion, but not as focused. And as you look at Virginia and New York and And North Carolina, you'll find, oh, you know, they either were looking at it at a law perspective and or a philosophical anyway. So we're going to get into that. And we want you to be prepared so when we get into that content, you'll be able to actually download all of these things. And yes, I have not, but this weekend I will end out the 2020 podcast and we'll actually roll over to the new podcast page so that we'll actually get 2021 up there since we are now in a new year. So we will get these all up onto the website and have the new podcast available for you. But anyway, we also want you and beg you to get more people engaged in the message. One of the things that you need to understand is that you're wasting time being entertained. It's time to put our childish things aside and actually start learning what are our responsibilities, what are our duties as citizens, and what do we need to do? Because everybody has a responsibility to be in the militia. Everybody has the ability to be called into the militia. Well, but depending on your state, because I think some states don't necessarily call upon women, but every man does. And I believe every citizen has a civil obligation and a constitutional obligation to ensure that the Constitution is being complied to. This is why the basic citizen has to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So let's start waking up everybody to let them know that they actually have a bigger role and responsibility other than just going to work and watching the game and having vacations. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so 2021 is the year of changing paradigms. It's no longer red against blue. It needs to be parchment against red and blue, because literally the red and blue is the uniparty. They're all about an agenda. They're all about slowly taking away your liberties and dismantling our constitutional configuration. There's There is no evidence that the Republican Party at the national level and at most state levels have any reverence towards the Constitution, period. And so it is about changing paradigms, and I believe it is time, and I believe we can capitalize on it. One of the things I want to kind of let you know is, moving forward, you need to know that yours truly, GR, because of the message that I have, they are going to view me and us as the real threat, because they have an agenda. They have no concern for the Constitution. They have no concern for their oath of office. And they are going to do anything and everything they can to try to expose me and you for whatever little thing there may be. And I don't want to be clear here. No, but none of us are perfect. But they should not be spying on people who are embracing the Constitution. And when they start using, because I am talking about actual leaders that need to be removed, Pence and Pelosi should have been removed. We'll get into that in just a minute. But I want you to know that just today, FBI conducted raids on Republican legislatures in Tennessee. I don't know the full details of this, but this is the deep state going after who they perceive as the enemy. And those in political offices may be their, you know, the first. And they're only going to do this within states that they believe that they have a fulcrum or the necessary leverage to have a strong effect. I do not believe that the FBI will be raiding Wyoming legislative homes and offices or Montana. But when you start looking at some of these red states that are close to turning purple, you will start seeing that those states are going to have more operations from the deep state, putting people, you know, hey, we got to back off here, man. We can't be pursuing these types of things, or they're going to expose us for these other things. Anyway, I also want you to know that the legal process for going after and suing this state or that state of what ended up happening for the election fraud and everything else, I'm going to tell you, with Biden, he is going to gloss over, and they're actually talking about mandating a whole new national integrity system, which what that means is they're going to assume full control without amending the Constitution. States have autonomy, and states are sovereign when it comes to their elections. Now, the federal government can create standards for federal elections, absolutely. And there are qualifications that must be met. But I am telling you that they will usurp this power, and they will implement a system that will guarantee every state that will turn communist, because the communist powers will actually start controlling the outcome if they go down this path. And this is where the states actually need to, this is where state legislators need to be completely aware of the fact that the federal government has no authority in doing or implementing these things, and they need to actually create the protections of the fact that they're not allowing to do this. This is why it is very important, and we're going to get into the dialogue, that the Electoral College must be restored to its original or to its constitutional layout as it has been changed in 1803, period. We need to get back to the people choosing the electors and those electors voting appropriately. So anyway, let me kind of move on. We'll just dive straight into kind of what happened. As we see what happened, Congress failed to do their job. When I look at the people in Washington, D.C., I've summarized this for people. The Constitution is very clear. Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17 gives Congress exclusive legislative authority. Only they can pass laws for the District of Columbia. There has never been an amendment to allow them to delegate that authority to a different body. So they are the ones that are responsible for making all laws. First off, there is a restriction on the laws they can make. They cannot make any law that abridges your right or infringes upon your First Amendment right to assemble and your First Amendment right to petition government for the redress of grievances. So when I look at what happened on the 6th, I saw a lot of patriots assembling in Washington, D.C., which is a city of government, not a city of commerce. I just want to be clear here. Commerce really shouldn't be existing, and or everything there is government property. So as we look at all of these people that were there at the mall, and when we, what we call the mall is from basically from Congress to the White House, and all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial, there's all these different memorials and so forth. But anyway, when we look at the mall, I mean, that is a place where people have a right to assemble, a constitutional right to assemble. They also have a constitutional right, a First Amendment right, to petition government for the redress of grievances. Congress cannot make any law that infringes or inhibits the people's right to petition government. And so what ended up happening? I believe what really happened was there were Antifa members that actually got into, because this happened before the Trump's address even ended. There was, I mean, there's like a 2-3 hour time window where people were in the Capitol. But bottom line, these people that actually went in, they had no intentions to petition government and exercise that First Amendment right. But many of the people that were there felt that they had a right to petition government. They may not have had this on their mind, but they knew that they needed to go in and let Congress know that they have a job to do. But unfortunately, the whole message had been controlled by the controlled opposition. Who's the controlled opposition? Everybody that is supporting the status quo and the party agenda. And so what we have is everybody is demanding voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. And what should have happened is the narrative should have been on the Constitution. And the first thing Congress should have done was they should have ensured that every elector met the qualifications. Did you know there are qualifications for an elector? Did you know that many states? I actually went to a state convention for the party, and the party actually nominated and selected a 18-year-old Republican because they wanted to make that person, you know, because he's 18 and he can vote, we're going to make him an elector. That's a violation of the Constitution. You have to be 25. But they create these, what do you want to call those guys, tokens. They want to create these opportunities to show, we have young people in our ranks. We've got an 18-year-old that is smart on politics that is going to do the party bidding. Congress should have verified that every single elector had met the requirements, because that is something that is not happening, and that's because of the constitutional illiteracy. The second thing that Congress should have done once they've identified which electors were qualified to vote and which weren't, and because those electors that were not qualified to vote, their votes must have been thrown out, had to be thrown out, because they were unconstitutionally qualified. And so, or they unconstitutionally voted. So those ballots should have been thrown out. Then they should have looked to ensure that every elector was elected in accordance with the Constitution, not just the requirements, but the manner in how they were elected was driven by the legislative bodies of the state. And I've covered this. And so this is where Pence and Pelosi should have thrown out the 31 states and the 401 electors, where the manner of choosing the electors for the Electoral College for their state was done via fiat by an executive or via judicial ruling. All 30, and this is why we petitioned, and this is why we appreciate every single one of you who got involved in this petition. Unfortunately, too many of you still kept the narrative of voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. This was not about voter fraud. This was about election fraud by governors and by judiciaries. It wasn't really about fraud. It was actually about violating the Constitution. What they did by passing these laws created election fraud. But first and foremost, they violated the Constitution. And Pence and Pelosi, their job was to recognize that 31 states violated the Constitution and threw out 401 electors. It's that simple. Which means that there would not have been enough in the Electoral College to actually constitutionally choose the president. You have to have 270 votes. After 401 get thrown out, I'm sorry, friends, there's just not enough to actually select a constitutionally select a president and vice president. So what that means is that Pence, Pelosi, and everybody that voted and certified and voted for the certification of Biden's election should be thrown out of Congress because they did not demand that compliance of the Constitution be made. We'll be right back after these two promos. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so many of you are asking, well, what do we do now? Because we can go over an, an armchair quarterback for weeks. What we have to do is remember what the infraction was. The infraction was that Congress failed to do their job, period. What also happened was President Trump and the Republican Party and the conservatives all were wrong on their narrative and message. Their focus on fraud was incorrect, and they will continue to be incorrect because they have no desire. The Republican Party had no desire to help Trump, and I believe they were the ones that convinced Trump he needed to focus on the fraud. I don't know, but if I had Trump's ear and I had his confidence and he told me who, why, and who, and how was it that he was so vexed and focused on the fraud and not the violation of the Constitution, everything would be completely different. The conversation would be completely different. Trump actually does have the power right now to go to the DOJ and say they should have done this, they didn't do this, and because they failed to support the Constitution, which they just took their oaths to do, they must be removed, and have the DOJ remove every single person that voted for an unconstitutional electoral college, instead of insisting that Congress, for whatever purpose and for whatever reason, they insisted that Congress actually choose the president. But I don't know how many people did that. Bottom line, what do we do now? Well, we need to start helping people understand how having the agenda narrative is the problem. The party is the problem. One of the things we don't want to do, because one of the things we can do is we can serve up crow. And some people believe crow is best served cold. Some people believe it's best served hot. I believe, because it's about vengeance, right? It's about, getting back at those blind Trumpers that just had complete blind faith in QAnon and all of these things. It's gone. It's done. And now the deep state will actually go through and find out who may be operating to support the Constitution within its ranks and get rid of them, either with Arkanside, and if you don't know what that means, that's the old Clinton way of getting rid of somebody, killing them and calling it suicide, or they just fire them and get rid of them. It all depends on how much damage they can actually bestow upon the deep state, the bad guys, the communist revolution that's going on. So what we need to do is we need to actually start getting organized, and you have to start challenging paradigms. Who are the good guys? First off, you have to know who the good guys are. Back in the days of the beginning of the end of Christ's church, you got to remember that Christ actually created a church with the apostles and everything else. And under the persecution of Rome, before the Roman Catholic Church perverted, and I'm sorry if you're Catholic, I'm not trying to poke you in the eye, but they perverted the doctrines of Christ. And, and I don't want to get into it, but I'm not trying to poke you in the eye. I think that, there was some good intent. But again, as George Washington says, even with the most noble intent, that's how governments and religions and so forth are overthrown. Anyway, we need to find out who the good guys are. And the good guys are, those who absolutely support the Constitution. And when you confront them, regarding the party and the party not supporting the Constitution, and because they're illiterate, they don't understand that, or they're poorly informed. Maybe they understand the Constitution a little and see the party as a part of the problem, but they don't recognize it as really the bigger problem that it serves. And so we need to find out who those good guys are, those who embrace and are willing to put their life on the line for liberty and the Constitution, just like the framers. And so we need to find out who the good guys are. And maybe it's a little bit easier to determine who the bad guys are. The bad guys are those who are directly supporting rebellion, the Democratic Party. If you're in the Democratic Party and you're voting Democrat, you are a bad guy. I'm sorry. Because if you're supporting the Democrat Party, its agenda, you are supporting the overthrow of the Constitution, which means that you are an anti-citizen and an anti-member of this republic. People look at, we all have a right for dissenting views. No! To be a U.S. citizen, you must support and defend the Constitution, or your citizenship must be revoked, and your ability to vote must be taken away. It's that simple. You cannot be supporting things that are designed to destroy and put aside the Constitution, or things that directly violate the Constitution. If you're voting for things that violate the Constitution, then you're voting as a rebel, and your citizenship should be revoked. What about those who support the political agenda, that they're not supporting the Constitution? At this point in time, we need support of the Constitution, period. full compliance, full enforcement. And any party agenda that is just trying to fight, you know, with lawsuits or making the change that, you know, we want to stop, you know, infanticide. We just want to stop, you know, babies from being aborted, you know, post 3 months. Well, no. The abortion issue is a state issue. The federal government has no deal and actually remove all of the federal tentacles from every issue out there, whether it be Common Core, education, labor, whether it be energy, all of the facets of our life, they have their tentacles around. And so if the party isn't standing up, if they're only standing up on a couple of issues, the Second Amendment, we've got a right to bear arms, BS. You have a right and a responsibility to defend the Constitution, not just to own a gun. And if you only own a gun because, you know, you think that that's your constitutional right, then you're wrong. Your right and duty as a citizen is to defend the Constitution and support it, not just have a gun. Anyway, so those who have agendas and they don't care about anything else as long as they got their guns, as long as they can stop this, or as long as, you know, homosexual marriage is, I mean, these people who are myopically based, passionate, and don't see the forest through the trees, either they're illiterate, poorly informed, or they're a bad guy. One of the two, because once you inform them and they don't change their position, they still maintain their myopic passion on one or two, three items and not the full enforcement of the Constitution, they're part of the problem. They're the enemy. I don't care if they vote for good people, they're still the enemy because they're not demanding full compliance of the Constitution. Those who support the status quo, in other words, there are groups out there that actually say, we're going to educate our way out of this. No. If you're not championing full compliance and full support and getting active like what we're doing with the NLA, the Constitution Party, and so forth, then they're a part of the problem. John Birch. Now, here's the good thing. If you understand the Eagle Forum is not a part of the problem. They actually demand and are fully embracing. I know many of the presidents of the Eagle Forum, and they're supporting full support of the Constitution, Republic Review, and so forth. They haven't formally, and I wait and I pray for the day when the Eagle Forum fully embraces Republic Review and full compliance of the Constitution. Because I think they realize that compliance of the Constitution fixes a lot of their problems, that gives them an opportunity to free them up to actually solve the other problems on the moral side, the family side, the community side. And that's what that organization's all about. But some of these other organizations that claim to be champions of the Constitution and the number one defender against communism, I'm telling you, they've pulled the wool over your eyes. They're all about themselves and they're all about maintaining relevance. This is why they've come after me. So what we need to do is we actually need to call out and identify. We're going to start doing that. We are going to start actually labeling who the bad guys are. And until they come to Jesus, until they have that epiphany, until they actually, you know, make the necessary changes to unite with everybody on full enforcement of the Constitution, they're a part of the problem. I don't care how witty their little comment is regarding the Electoral College. I am telling you, they are a part of the problem because they have to be supporting full enforcement of the Constitution. So we got to get organized, and we have to get organized literally in two different ways, and everybody has a responsibility to be involved in both of these ways. There's the politically, we got to get organized, and at a grassroots. And no, even though politics is a fundamental grassroots organization, it is not the end all because there are limitations for political organizations. They can't be involved in the political organization, can't be involved in militias and, you know, fundraising and some of these other things that need to be done. But you can be a member of a party and a member of a grassroots organization. That's why we need to get organized in both. And that's why these two must work together, and we'll get into the details as soon as we get back. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what I was just saying is that the political party, the Constitution Party, and these grassroots organizations must work together, and they have to hold each other accountable to the Constitution. They have to be willing to be held accountable. It's almost like a marriage. A husband and wife need to be willing to hold each other accountable. I mean, it is an imbalanced marriage if only one spouse is willing to hold somebody accountable but not willing to address their own shortfalls and their own mistakes, you know, their own transgressions, whatever, right? I mean, you both have to be able to point out, hey, there are some problems, and we're going to get into how they do this and how they create a symbiotic relationship and how they develop synergy. Oh, boy, two words that I think the millennials. Those are the two words, synergy and symbiosis, that kind of just, you know, makes the hair on the back of their neck stand up. And that's all conditioned. That's because they've been conditioned to believe all of these things are bad. They're not. But politically, let's get into what has to happen politically. Then we'll get into the grassroots. Right now, what's going on right now? And some counties have already reorganized in the Republican Party, Libertarian Party, or what have you. Parties, every county has their own period of time where they do their reorg. So you may have already missed it. But many counties in, you know, the dark red states, they don't even have their reorgs until after the harshness of winter, so that they can get full participation, so that they can choose the new chair, the vice chair or co-chair, their treasurer, you know, the officers, the executive committee for the county. And so the reorgs for the Republican Party are going on right now. One of the things, you need to find out when it is, and you need to be there. And if you're not a part of a part of the party, you need to ask, you know, are there some really important things that we can bring up? Because one of the things you must bring up is the bylaws must be radically changed to fully align with the Constitution. The platform must be radically changed to fully align with the Constitution. And you lead that, those two demands, you lead it with this. That because the party has failed to understand the Constitution and is not aligned with the Constitution, we just lost an election because of constitutional illiteracy and a lack of constitutional focus. And then you point to the Electoral College. That was the argument, that they were unconstitutional, that had to have been thrown out, and had Congress chosen the president, it would have fell back onto the President Trump. And then we would actually be able to do the audit in going forward in cleaning up the election process. But now we're screwed because of that. So what we have to do is we have to make and vocalize these demands. Even if you're part of the Constitution Party, you get your butt into the Republican Party. Why? Because they're the big dog. And we need to basically, by conversion, we need to get rid of the big dog, because the big dog, as I said, is the enemy. Lines must be drawn that the party, that this county, this central committee must be aligned with the Constitution. Its bylaws and its platform must be aligned. And you got to understand that the party is a bottom-up organization, just like grassroots, bottom-up. And so as you create the platform, as you create the bylaws, those things filter up into the state platform and bylaws. The inevitable must be discussed as well. And this is where, and I've talked about this, and I'll probably end the show talking about this because I can go on and on and on, but I don't want to. The fact of the matter is, at the county level, every person that just got elected for every election seat possible, and even those who aren't elected, such as, you know, because senators aren't necessarily elected every 2 years, right? Your state senator and your congressional senator, they have a 6-year cycle or a 4-year cycle, so they may not have been up for election. Everybody that is a part of the representative political force that is supposed to represent you in that county, whether that be the, you know, the water board, the public utilities, or whatever commissions and boards that are superintendents of schools, everybody's name and picture. I submit you should have pictures of every single one of these so that everybody now can put a face to the name when they see them. This way you can actually confront them as to why or what they're doing to support the Constitution. But what you need to do is you need to put them all on the table and one by one, and this may take a very long period of time. And by the way, this does not have to be done in person. But what everybody must do is everybody must actually state their piece as to who they believe truly represents them and their oath of office, which is supporting the Constitution. If you have anybody that you feel does not support the Constitution, then their name needs to be put in red, because they need to be identified as a person that has to be replaced. Now, once you've done all of this, once you've, you know, had this open dialogue regarding who truly represents you, so that those people you don't have to worry too much about, but the other people that you know you have to worry about, now you actually are focused on getting replacements. I can tell you, CMR, Kathy McMorris Rogers, legislative district that, you know, actually the congressional district that I live in, she needs to be replaced. I've been telling the chairs of the congressional district for 2 years now, or two cycles, that she must be replaced. I actually voted Democrat this year, and I gave everybody my argument that we are a Republican congressional district. There is no reason why we continue to vote for somebody that does more damage than a Democrat would. Because I guarantee you, a Democrat that goes into office that actually, you know, does their agenda for 2 years will instantly be replaced. politicians are characters, or I should say creatures of self-preservation. They will try to at least listen to the constituents. A Republican representing a Republican congressional district that has no regard for their constituents will do whatever they will, and they're rhinos, and they'll actually support many of the things that go against your core principles. And they're not standing up on the Constitution, and they're not fully supporting the Constitution. So that's why, and they don't listen to you. So you get yourself a Democrat to replace them. If the county chairs refuse to replace that person. Now, my preference would be actually having a viable constitutional candidate, but we didn't have one. But I believe this is the year where that can change. I believe that everybody can actually test the waters and prove, at least in the purple states, you will be able to prove that the Republican Party is the enemy. They're equally the enemy as the Democrat Party, the controlled opposition, all of the rest of these people, because they don't care about actually taking and aligning with the Constitution and demanding everybody align with the Constitution. They have an agenda to protect, and they will protect it because they're managers, not leaders. And we've gotten into these details several times before. So you have to have this inevitable discussion of who represents you. And then you actually have to actually start delineating, you know, how the party is or is not supporting the Constitution. And I will tell you that only the Constitution Party will support that. So what you have to do is by actually demanding, one of the things that you'll probably have an opportunity is to open up the Central Committee meetings or monthly meetings to actually have constitutional lessons, because what they'll do is the squeaky wheel will get the oil. Then in these meetings, you'll actually be able to play our videos and help people get an understanding of what the Constitution really is, and actually empower these people to recognize that the party's the problem. And most of these people will start. And the best thing to do is to create a duality. What you want to do is you want to become get them to become a member of the Constitution Club that doesn't exist yet, but we're hoping to get it there. And we also hope that they actually will vote Constitution Party, because the Constitution Party, if there are constitutional candidates, I believe that the moral high ground is to support anybody. It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat, Libertarian, whatever party they align to, that they call their affiliation. But if they are committed to supporting and willing to sign what we call a pledge to resign if they fail to support fully the Constitution. And then when you call them out, they already have a resignation letter already ready to go. But anyway, going back to this list of people that the party has now, so the party should be sending out, and this is what the Constitution Party needs to be prepared to do. The Constitution Party should actually do this as well, because these people are not just representatives of the party, they're representatives of all the people or all the parties. And therefore, the Constitution Party, for every county and every legislative district and so forth, should be sending letters to each of these people, and especially to those who are, you know, real problems, Constitution violators. You need to send them an email or a formal letter letting them know that they are the party. You do not recognize them as somebody that truly represents their constituents, the Constitution, and so forth. And you're giving them notice that you are working now to have them replaced in 2 years. The more they know that people are working against them, the more they may change. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we got a lot more for you. We'll be back, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution.
So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.